8th, March 8th, when we are going to be in the streets telling corporate interests out of state and in many cases out of mind that we're not having coal and oil. No, not in Cascadia. But first, a few headlines. We're going to get started with news from around the world, because in this case, we really are talking about World War III here. Look at the situation. Look at sub-Saharan Africa. We've totally forgot what's going on in the Congo there. Look at North Africa. Look at the Middle East. And now the almost certain prospect of war looms in where else? It's always the Balkans, isn't it? It's always that part of the world. Well, in any case, this week, today, in fact, in New York, and prepping for the big day tomorrow, when Benjamin Netanyahu comes to town. Netanyahu will be speaking, of course, at the annual policy conference of the American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee, or AIPAC, on Tuesday, tomorrow. He will, of course, be joined by a phalanx of, and by the way, phalanx is not a dirty word, of, except in this case, I suppose, of Washington power brokers, from John Kerry to John McCain. One European ambassador in D.C. said other U.S. allies, other countries could only dream of, for whatever reasons one would like to consider, Israel seems to have occupy a very special place in the heart of the American banking system. And, of course, not too close friendship with Barack Obama. That will be on the table today. The two men will be meeting, and very likely Benjamin Netanyahu is all ready to deliver a proper tongue-lashing to our president. That's something we won't hear about, so we can only speculate, of course. And police arrested hundreds of people who'd strapped themselves to the White House fence on Sunday, yesterday, to protest the Keystone XL. Let's not forget that whatever conflict is raging in the rest of the world, we have a conflict raging right here, and that is the effort to protect the last of our wildlands, the last uncontaminated patches of America. And the Obama administration recommended last Thursday that private companies begin searching, get this, for oil and gas reserves off the Atlantic coast. It's an area that's been closed to drilling for decades. More than 3 billion barrels of, as they say, this is the word that we all love, recoverable oil. Recoverable? Why? We had it and lost it, now we're recovering it. And over 300 trillion cubic feet of natural gas may lie in the area extending all the way from Delaware to Cape Canaveral, Florida. More on that in a moment. North Carolina-based Duke Energy, frequently in the news. Duke Energy is a name that is very familiar to environmental activists as well as environmental it's hard to put a name on it. Let's say justice, because it seems that Duke Energy has taken advantage of people who are less fortunate, who are disenfranchised in one or many ways. In any case, Duke Energy paid no federal corporate income taxes for years. In fact, Duke is the nation's largest electrical utility at a negative effective tax rate. Wait for it. Of 3.3% during a five-year period. In other words, they paid less than no taxes at all. They got money back. The investor-owned company earned over $9 billion in profits during those years, but received tax rebates totaling nearly $300 million. There's a check you won't be seeing in the mail anytime soon. And despite the fact that the US Supreme Court ruled in 1983 that offenders cannot be jailed when they can't afford to pay their fines, an increasing number of poor, low-level offenders are doing time because they can't keep up with fees that they owe to courts and private probation companies. We have private prisons. There are the names, it's a mind-bending array of acronyms. Corrections Corporation of America leads the pack, but I can't even begin to list the rest that are for-profit prisons. And of course, what we should have taken into account all along is if you've got a for-profit prison, of course you're going to have a for-profit probation company. To many people, it resembles a variation of the old Victorian workhouses, the debtors' prisons. Perhaps the McMinimans will have to change the Edgefield back into a poorhouse to accommodate those who are struggling to, even after paying their debt to society, as we laughingly call it. Now they're still paying their debt to private probation companies. And a concert featuring Portland battle rapper and hip-hop artist Immaculate Luck One and Mikey Vegas at the Blue Monk in Southeast Portland was cut short on Saturday after Portland police blocked off the street access to the club and limited access to the event. Police are stepping out at night now. You may think it's just that this is nothing but a trash report, but look carefully at some of the details. There's more going on here than meets the eye. And practitioners, get this, here's a story. Practitioners of dowsing. Anybody familiar with dowsing out there? What you need is a forked stick and also some ineffable touch that seems to work and is almost impossible to explain. And in any case, you can use copper sticks or wooden divining rods that resemble large wishbones. And dowsers describe as a natural energy. It allows them to find water and minerals hidden deep underground. Dowsing's coming back. Both state and federal water scientists disapprove of the practice. California, their water witches are busy, though, as farmers seek to drill more groundwater wells due to the state's record drought that persists despite recent rain, which, of course, is going to run straight off. On that note, weather from around the region before we get into today's stories. Showers, and we could get a thunderstorm here and there. Highs around 56, south-southwest winds, 11 to 16, gusting up to 23 miles per hour, and possibly as high as 30 at my place. Tonight, showers likely. Early on, though, overcast skies, lows around 44, still breezy. For tomorrow, expect rain to continue. Cloudy, highs around 58, and light south wind. For tomorrow night, rain, lows around 46, and not much in the way of wind. And that covers our conventional weather forecast for Cascadia. More of from the alternative aspect a little bit later in the week. We do still have a new moon. It's very beautiful if you catch a glimpse of it riding the cloud cover in the early evening. It's beautiful. So, That said, a lot has happening here in Cascadia. We saw last week, Friday, late Thursday night, into Friday, Ibrahim Mubarak, one of the principal spokespeople and organizers at Right to Dream 2, being arrested in a parking garage. The video pretty much says it all. It might have been a better idea not to have a semi-hysterical female police officer accost Ibrahim, moving towards him in a threatening manner and attempting to lay hands on him. Have we learned absolutely nothing from Abu Ghraib, nothing from any of our other adventures overseas, that we don't have female police officers or female people of any calling attempting to lay hands on Muslim men. And Ibrahim nonetheless was released and is back out in the community. There was a rally there, and there's lots of audio and video from that. This has been the news for Air Cascadia 4, Monday, March 3rd, 2014. Kate Welch engineered the show today. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Well, do stay tuned for Barb's book. Hang on a moment here. Our boo player just crashed. If anybody wants to come help, let me play a little music for a moment here. So let me tell you that this KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Wilkin and Company, PC Certified Public Accountants, helping businesses, individuals, and nonprofit organizations make financial decisions based on their personal values since 1987. Wilkin and Company is located at 2435 Southwest 5th Avenue in Portland. Information at 503-225-1359 or wilkincpas.com. Barbara, your music is on the IR and it just crashed, so go take it away.
Good morning and welcome to Locus Focus. I'm Barbara Bernstein, your host for this weekly conversation about our place on the planet. Deep in the heart of South Texas, oil and gas wells are sprouting at an unprecedented rate, making the Eagle Ford Shale one of the biggest energy booms in America. But the boom could be a bust for local residents who fear for their health, not just from the water in the ground, but the very air they breathe. This morning, we talk with David Hassemeyer, co-author of Fracking the Eagle Ford Shale, and an eight-month investigation by Inside Climate News, the Center for Public Integrity, and the Weather Channel that examines the dangers of releasing a toxic soup of chemicals into the air and reveals how little the Texas government knows about drilling pollution in its own state. David Hassemeyer is a freelance journalist and investigative reporter. He's written extensively about problems with nuclear waste and bitumen pipelines. David, welcome to Locus Focus.
Thank you. Good morning.
And it's good to have you on. I just actually finished watching the video that's on the Weather Channel and was pretty much blown away by those images and by the information, which I think really augments the writing that was inside Climate Wire. So I really compliment you on this report. I think we should start by talking about what is the Eagle Ford Shale play and why have we heard so little about it?
The Eagle Ford is a section in rural South Texas. It's essentially 400 miles long and about 50 miles wide, stretching from south central Texas down to the Mexican border. And there may be a number of reasons you haven't heard a lot about it. One, because it is in a very rural area, it doesn't impact the more heavily populated areas that tend to draw attention when this sort of development moves in. For example, in Texas, the Barnett Shale region, you know, encompasses Dallas-Fort Worth and was truly encroaching on some urban neighborhoods. So there was naturally a lot of attention, a lot of hue and cry there. In the Eagle Ford, it's truly rural, with ranch homes, you know, separated by miles. It's a vast prairie down there. So that may well be one of the reasons. Another reason is with the publicity focused on the Barnett, with the publicity focused on the Bakken in the Dakotas. There's just been a lot of attention played to these new oil and gas plays. And it may just be one of these things that Eagle Ford is just another oil and gas play that hasn't merited a lot of attention.
Actually, it's interesting because I first heard about it when I was talking with some oil industry representatives in Calgary a few months ago, and they were talking glowingly. They were trying to compare, in a way, the oil reserves in Alberta to the Eagle Ford. And I'd never heard of the Eagle Ford, but the way they talked about it, it sounded like a really major oil play. So it does seem like in the world of oil and gas people that it is a really significant resource and that they are paying a lot of attention to it.
Oh, absolutely. Within the industry, we've had an industry representative tell us that the Eagle Ford could be and the term he used was a game changer because it is so big. And the industry already is starting to tout what it's done for the state of Texas, created by its estimates about 400,000 jobs and pumped into the Texas economy about $2.6 billion. Texas itself, when you look at its budget, has collected about $7 billion in taxes from the Eagle Ford already. So it is a big player there.
Well,
but on the
continue, yes.
But on the other side of it being a big player, there are a lot of small folks there who have lost their voice in what's happening to not only their own property, but to their homeland of South Texas.
Well, I wanted to talk about what's in this play. Is it just oil or is it also natural gas?
It's both. It's oil and natural gas. And what's most significant about this play in the oil is that there's a high concentration of hydrogen sulfide. This is a very deadly gas that in low concentrations can cause physiological reactions, and in high concentrations, it can kill. And as is true with this type of oil and gas from shale, there are any number of volatile organic compounds associated with it. Benzene, toluene, these are all chemicals that have an effect on the central nervous system, can cause headaches,